This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Today we're having a conversation that is deeply personal, incredibly powerful, and so important, especially as we mark Autism Awareness Month and Autism Awareness Day. Now, for many families, an autism diagnosis can feel overwhelming, consuming, and even isolating. But what if that journey could also become one of empowerment, knowledge, and hope? Joining us today, someone who has lived that journey, turned it into a mission that is changing lives across South Africa and beyond. Ilana Gisholowitz is a former attorney who stepped away from a legal career after her son was diagnosed with autism and went on to become one of the country's leading autism advocates. And she's also the founder of the Star Academy, supporting children with autism, and the founding director of Catch Up Kids. She's also an award-winning leader, international speaker, and author of Saving My Sons, A Journey with Autism. Ilana, good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Afternoon Brief.
Thank you for having me today. It's wonderful to be speaking to you.
Great to have you on board, Ilana. For listeners who may not fully understand autism, how would you explain it in simple terms? And why is awareness so important today? Hello, Ilana.
I lost you there.
Sorry, Ilana.
I lost you there. I think we're back.
Okay. Are you with me now?
I think we're back. Yes. A bad signal got you now.
Okay.
You were asking me about autism.
Okay. And sure. For listeners who don't fully understand autism, how would you explain it in simple terms? Why is awareness still so important today?
Great question. Autism is certainly not a superpower. Autism is a spectrum diagnosis. On the one end of the spectrum, we have a child who's completely nonverbal. Can you imagine something like this? Not being able to speak, not being able to express how you feel, your wants, your needs. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have very high-functioning individuals who can have language and communication and can go to school, but they often have social skills deficits and certain eccentricities. No matter where you are on the spectrum, these individuals really do need support so that they can live independent, functional, and fulfilled lives. It's certainly not a diagnosis to accept. Mm-hmm. It's a diagnosis that requires support and treatment, not only for the child or individual, but also for the extended family.
Ilana, we deal with misconceptions around autism. So what do you believe are the biggest myths which you've encountered regarding that which you'd like to challenge?
The greatest myth is that the child is super bright, they're so clever, that's a genius, the idea of Rain Man. I think we have very, very few individuals on the spectrum like that. Mm-hmm. They refer to the Elon Musks of the world. It's very, very rare. So I think it's a myth that, most of them are math professors and highly, highly intelligent. I can share with your listeners today that mostly, no matter where you're on the spectrum, mm-hmm. if it's not given the right intervention and treatment, it can be an extremely debilitating diagnosis, not only for the child, but also for the family. The lower end of the spectrum that we call the profoundly autistic group of individuals, just like my older son, I have a 23-year-old who's profoundly autistic. That means he's nonverbal. That means he needs a communication device to talk to us, to express his wants, his needs. To raise a profoundly autistic child means that you're going to be a caregiver, not a parent. And then if we look at the higher end of the spectrum, you can have children or individuals who get kicked out of school, they're struggling to make friends, they have depression. And all these different places on the spectrum really can be supported and can be helped, but I don't think we talk enough about it. Mm. And I think parents struggle to navigate the journey, they struggle to access the help that they need.
061-895-1019. If you've just joined us, welcome to the Afternoon Brief. I'm Michael McKenna. I'm chatting to Ilana Gershelwitz. It is Autism Awareness Month. That is exactly what we are discussing, a parent's guide to hope. And yes, what parents could encounter regarding autism. And please, as I've mentioned, if you've got any questions whilst we have Ilana on the line, WhatsApp us 061-895-1019 so that you can put to rest anything that... rather, get anything off your chest regarding the issue. Ilana, whilst we anticipate questions from our audience, let's look at your personal journey. When I introduced you, you stepped away from your legal career after your son was diagnosed with autism, as I've put it. So let's go back to the beginning. Take us back to when your son was first diagnosed. What was that moment like for you as a parent?
When that word autism rang through my ears, it felt like a life sentence. The doctor who delivered the diagnosis, you know, told us goodbye and mm-hmm. good luck. Take him home, accept it, make him comfortable. Having said that, I'm a Jewish mother, first and foremost, and Jewish mothers do not just accept anything when it comes to their children. And I always tell people that I've been the roar behind the silence because I was going to fight for my child and I was not going to accept anything. We don't accept cancer. We don't accept diabetes. We find the best doctors, the best educators, the best treatments. And that's exactly what I did. We flew to America very early on. We realized that South Africa didn't have the treatments we needed to secure my son's future. We were actually going to immigrate. We were going to go live in America, and we had a change of heart. We remained in South Africa. We established the Star Academy that's now been in existence for 20 years. We provide individualized education programs to children and individuals across the spectrum. We rely on an evidence-based teaching methodology called applied behavior analysis, which is first-line treatment for children on the spectrum. And my message to parents today is that there's so much hope. Autism is treatable, and there certainly are children that can make a 360 from the diagnosis. Not every child will. There's not one cure, but we have enough evidence now to know, Michael, that number one, psychiatric medication should not be first-line treatment, and number two, that there is definitely a gut-brain connection, and we don't talk about this enough.
Ilana, you mentioned applied behavior analysis. I was going to come to that, given the amazing work that you've done regarding this, or as it's known as ABA. Let's just unpack that a little. Can you explain what that is and how it really helps children with autism?
Applied behavior analysis is a methodology of teaching rooted in psychology based on positive reinforcement, incorporating behavior management principles. So children across the spectrum, whether they're on the lower functioning end or the higher functioning end, are going to present with behavior. Anxiety is a behavior. Tantrum behavior, tantruming is a behavior. Depression is a behavior. Not being able to express yourself is a behavior. So applied behavior analysis analyzes the behavior and then identifies developmental skills deficits in the child that drives the behavior. It then focuses on teaching developmental skill acquisition to replace the inappropriate behavior. So when people ask me, what do you do at the Star Academy? I tell them that we are childhood developmental engineers. We engineer childhood development. And I think importantly with applied behavior analysis, as compared to other therapies that often fall short in addressing the child on the spectrum or the individual on the spectrum, is that with ABA, we want to see the child every day for as many hours as we can. And I always explain to the parents, when you're not good at something, if you're not good at establishing and maintaining friendships, and you want to get better, if you get an opportunity to practice the skills that you're not good at multiple times during the week, you're going to get better at those skills you're not so good at. But if we're only treating these children like once or twice a week, the therapy is falling short of addressing the root cause as well as ensuring that there's going to be results. Miserable results.
Indeed. Ilana, I'm getting a question from one of our listeners. The question reads, Ilana, what extent does our education system in South Africa, to what extent does it support learners on the autism spectrum effectively?
That's a good question. I'm glad they asked that question. It's not an easy question to answer because, honestly, our South African education system is many, many years behind in coming on board and really ensuring inclusive education and ensuring that the methodologies that these children really need are included into the mainstream and the school setting. In South Africa, we think in boxes. If you're mainstream, you know, you go to the mainstream school. If you're remedial, box. Special needs, box.
Yeah.
And at the SAR Academy, we learned from one of the world leaders in autism treatment, the Center for Autism and Related Disorders. And they taught us all about inclusive education. And when we work with a child who can be in school, we ensure that we bring the infrastructure, the knowledge, the expertise, the staff to the table, to the schools, so that they can successfully include those learners when they're ready for that placement into the mainstream school environment. To answer the question, our current education system falls short in addressing the needs of autistic learners. If your autistic child is at an autism school, to me, that's not going to be the best learning environment. Michael, we don't want to tailor the environment to the child. We want to tailor the child to the environment.
Okay, to fit and adapt and relate to. Is what I'm gathering from what you've just mentioned, Ilana. We certainly started a conversation here because another question that's come in is, what gaps, Ilana, now exist in the workplace inclusion for autistic adults, and how can employers realistically address them?
I think that there are autistic individuals who are employed that will present obviously with certain eccentricities, maybe certain repetitive behavior, maybe certain obsessive behavior. And I think that obviously also bring many strengths to the table, you know. I just want to at the outset say that childhood autism and autism that is diagnosed in the teenage years is very different to this autistic adult that's in a job somewhere and that's got married and that your listener is now asking about. It's a different kind of autism. And that's really one of my points today, is that autism has become very murky. The waters are very muddy. We require a redefinition of the spectrum. And I do believe that in America, with the new Trump administration and the way everything's going, soon we're going to see a redefinition of the spectrum, because at the moment, autism is defined in terms of the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual, and it really needs to come out of that psychiatric manual because it's not a psychiatric disorder. In fact, it's a medical illness. It's a metabolic disorder. The children have digestive issues, and they have metabolic imbalances. I'm not answering your question, but I think I had to really go to the definition of autism just to get to the answer of that question. So let's get back to the autistic adult in employment. You know, I think it's all about awareness, and that's what April is about. The employer being aware that we do have neurodiverse individuals and that they may be more sensitive to light or more sensitive to noise. And, you know, if they are aware that they have a valuable employee on the spectrum, they can engage with them and understand maybe it'll be better to put them in the office down the corridor so that there's less noise, or to have the other employees have an understanding that these social skills maybe a little bit more deficit. They may not always pick up those basic social cues, but to make the rest of the the staff complement aware of their strengths. And they have so many strengths. And I must tell everybody listening today that, you know, an autistic, high-functioning individual has had to overcome so many challenges to be in employment and to maintain that employment, that it is really incumbent on the employer to come on board and understand their challenges so that everyone in the company can, you know, support them to be successful.
Ilana, I really wish we had a bit more time to unpack the issue more. I've just got a question in from one of our listeners. I don't know who this is I'm talking to, but the question reads, can an autistic child be diagnosed with every mental disability other than autism?
I wouldn't say every mental disability other than, but there certainly are overlaps. So there are children with CP who also have autism, or there are children who have Down syndrome who also have autism. You know, we have many diagnoses now today. You have children with oppositional defiance. At the Star Academy, we treat many children with oppositional defiance. Another diagnosis is PDA. You know, and so there's many diagnoses. There are overlaps. Sometimes autism does overlap with other diagnoses. But I think my message to your listeners today is one of hope. Hope is the best medicine of all. For April, World Autism Awareness Month, my message to the parents, never give up. Never keep trying. Don't let anyone put a ceiling on your child. If one medicine is not working, try another. If one doctor is not helping you, find the doctor that will ask the why question. If your doctor can't ask why your child has anxiety, or why your child is not being successful at school, or why your child is a picky eater, it's the wrong doctor. Find the doctor who asks the why. Find the doctor who finds the right treatment, because they're there. And autism is treatable, and your child can have an independent and functional life. And there's so much we can do to help these kids and their families. And always find ways to keep your hope alive.
As we mark Autism Awareness Month, let's remember awareness isn't just the first step. It's about understanding, acceptance, and creating spaces where every child can thrive. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Ilana's work, you can visit the Star Academy online and her book, Saving My Sons, which is a journey with autism. It's also available with those wanting deeper insight, or rather wanting a deeper insight into Ilana's journey. Ilana, thank you so much for joining us on today's show. Ilana Gasholowitz, former attorney, founder of the Star Academy, supporting children with autism, which was the topic of discussion, and the founding director of Catch Up Kids.